Okay, good evening. Good evening. Hope everyone has had a good Shabbos, a good weekend, has been enjoying the lovely weather here in Chicago with our 50 degrees in the middle of February. I know I've been enjoying it. Tonight's topic is actually the final one in our Wake Up with Neely series. So the first class was on Netilas Yadayim. It was on the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. The second class was last week. It was on the topic of women's chiyuv in tefillah and davening. And tonight's class, to the last one in the series, is on the topic of women's chiyuv in berachos hashachar and the morning blessings. That's tonight's topic. So we're going to once again try to do this in a organized and hopefully memorable fashion. We can all walk away with this clearly organized in our head so we can share it with other people, share it with others. And that's really always the goal. Lilmod ulalamed, to learn and then to teach. That's always the goal while we come to a class, to be able to share with other people. So here we go. We'll share our screen. Okay. Roz, I can see you. Are we visible? The screen? Great. Okay. Tonight's topic, women and Berachos HaShachar, the background and practical halacha. So as with anything in Judaism, the first question we always ask when we are told to do something, well, first one always, what are we supposed to do? What are the Berachos HaShachar? So depends on the sitter, actually, you're looking at as to what it labels as Berachos HaShachar. It's like almost like a little bit of a vague term as to what exactly it's referring to. So already we covered in last week's, so 2 weeks ago's class, sorry, we covered the halachos of Netilas Yadayim, which in many Siddurim it is considered part of Berachos HaShachar. Also, the Brach of Ash Yotzar, we also discussed a little bit 2 weeks ago. So tonight's class, we're going to focus primarily or almost exclusively on two other components, but really a focus on the first one, which is the bracha of Elokai Neshama, and then the brachos, what we know as quote-unquote the brachos, the morning brachos. We're going to focus on those two components. Berachos HaTorah is technically not really part of Berachos HaShachar, so we probably will not get to it tonight. We'll see if we do, but maybe we'll discuss it outside a little bit. But we're going to focus primarily on the first component, which is Elokai Neshama and the brachos, the morning brachos. So the question is, first question we always ask is, why? Why do we say these morning blessings? Why are they in the Siddur to begin with? Is there a mitzvah in the Torah that says make these blessings? Does God ever say you one shall bless these blessings every single day? The answer is no, because as a matter of fact, there is really only one, maybe two brachos that are, we call brachos d'oraisa, which means the Torah says we must make these blessings. And those are the first one, which we may or may not be aware of. The first bracha, which is d'oraisa, is benching. The Torah tells us explicitly, v'yachalta v'savata uberachta, you shall eat, you shall become satiated, and you shall bless. So benching is a bracha which is d'oraisa. And the other one, which is a machlokes, whether it's d'oraisa, is berachas haTorah, is the blessing made before learning Torah. The Gemara has a drasha from Parshas Hazinu of Kishem Hashem Akraha Vagoda Lelokeinu. Now the Gemara says that is referring to, that it's referring to that before we quote unquote say God's name, before we learn Torah, Torah is an expression of God's name in this world. So before we do that, we will give praise to God, and that is the Berachas haTorah. So that the Gemara does say that. It's a machlokes amongst the Meforshim, amongst the commentators, whether or not that is actually a explicit mitzvah d'oraisa, or it's what we call an asmachta. We covered an asmachta last week. Asmachta means it is a really biblical, a rabbinic commandment in nature, but it is based off of, or the Rabbanan, our sages, were able to find a hint to this rabbinic principle in the Torah itself. But without a doubt, without a question, every other bracha that exists, is only rabbinic in nature. And that includes the Birchos HaShachar, all the blessings we make every single morning. So if they're not from the Torah, if God never said, thou shalt make a blessing every morning on the fact that a rooster can tell the difference between night and day, or that you are not or you're able to, thank God, have shoes on your feet every single morning. So if God never said to make those blessings, so what is the basis for the rabbi's decree, the rabbi's mitzvah, the rabbi's enactment of our making these blessings every single morning? So there's a beautiful piece that I want to share with you from Rav Eliezer Melamed in his Sefer Pinini Halacha, and he writes as follows. We'll read it together. It's a lot of Hebrew text, but don't worry, we will translate, so no need to get nervous. He writes, Brachos rabos teknu chachamim lomar miyad im hakima baboker. There are many blessings that our sages enact that we should say immediately with our getting up in the morning. V'inyanan, and what's the whole basis? What's the idea behind them? L'hodos la'shem al hatov shehu gomel lanu b'chol yom. To give thanks, to give praise to God for the good. For the good that He bestows upon us every single day. In your Shigras Hachaim Shochekes Baderach Klal as Teshumas Halev Shalanu L'chol HaTova Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Mashpia Aleinu. Says the fact is that the day-to-day grind of life itself tends to dull our senses to appreciating all the goodness that God gives us in our lives every single day. Uva'akvus Kfius HaTova Hazu Af habracha hayom yomimit shakadosh baruch hu mashpia al haadam eina mesamechas oso. Says the sad reality of this is that because we just get used to the day and day grind of life itself, so we fail to appreciate all the blessing we have, which in turn means that we are not happy with our lives because we take everything for granted. The fact that we can see that we have a roof over our heads, it no longer is meaningful. We know it doesn't invigorate us, make us excited, make us happy with our lives. And then he writes, "V'chayav na'asim ma'asha'amim v'rikanim," and life can start to feel dull and empty. "K'day latseis ma'ashimamon hu mechapes rigushim shonim v'nigrar achar ta'avos shliliot." And what happens? We become drained and dulled from life, and we are yearning for excitement, for something new. So we run after all sorts of distractions, unnecessary tavo, unnecessary worldly pleasures, just to try to wake ourselves up because we're so dull to the world around us. Think about it. You know, how often do we feel the need to get away, to have some external, superficial excitement in our lives, because the day-to-day for many of us is dull. It's depressing. So says Rav Melamed, "Kidei shelo niyeh kifuyei tova, tiknu lanu chachamim es brachos, brachos ha-shachar." So we wouldn't become ingrates. Our sages set up the morning blessings. Shebehem noda lebor'enu al kol hadvarim hagdolim haktanim she'al yadam anu yicholim litafked ba'olam. We have an opportunity every single morning for the brachos hashachar themselves to thank God for both the big and the minute things in our lives, which enable us to fulfill our purpose in this world. Mitoch hakarat hatodah la'Hashem. And from our ability to be grateful, to recognize the goodness in our lives from God, anu zochim lehitbonen al haolam b'mabat ashir malei. And by appreciating, by focusing in on all the blessing we have, we actually will feel that sense of wealth and blessing in our lives. Anu lomdim shelekol davar b'chayenu yesh erech eloki. And on a deeper level, we will appreciate that every aspect of our lives has a godly depth to it. Omit orer banu cheshek lifol tov, Yom HaChadash. And that will invigorate us to approach each and every single day with a passion, the passion to do good, to make each new day meaningful. That's why we say the Berachas HaShachar every single day. That's why we open our eyes every morning. We get up, and we say the blessings, thanking God for who we are, for what we have. It's kedai, it's worthwhile. I'm sure we all know what the Berachas HaShachar are, but if we have never read them in English, it's worthwhile to go through, to appreciate what it is we're saying every single day. As a matter of fact, right now, if you give me just a moment, I'm going to grab my Sidur, and we'll maybe read some of them together in English. Everyone has to have a handy-dandy art scroll Sidur in their house. Important to have. If not art scroll, some other English Sidur. Make sure we know what we're saying in the morning. So every morning, the Berachos HaShachar, what are we saying when we say them? Good question. Well, let's read them. Okay. The first one, Elokai Neshama. Let's read it just in English. And I'll adapt it to make it not so art scrolly, the English. Try to make it sound more normal. So it says the Sidur, Elokai Neshama. My God, the soul you placed within me is pure. You created it. You fashioned it. You breathed it into me. You safeguarded it within me. And eventually, you will take it from me and restore it to me in the world to come. However, as long as the soul is within me, I gratefully thank you, Hashem, my God, and the God of my forefathers, master of all works, Lord of all souls. Blessed are you, Hashem, who restores souls to those who have passed on. That's the bracha of Elokai Neshama. What about the other blessings? The Berachos HaShachar, the brachos themselves. We thank Hashem for the first, forgiving, understanding to distinguish between day and night. It's actually interesting here. They translate Lesachvi. Lesachvi literally refers to a rooster. Here, art school translates it as the heart. Interesting. But distinguishing night and day. We thank God for not being a Gentile. We thank God for not being a slave. We thank God for women, the bracha is, as we'll discuss later on, that God has made us according to his will. We thank God, Pokech Ivrim is giving sight to the blind. That's all of us. We get blessed with sight. For clothing the naked, for releasing the binds from upon us, for straightening the bent, giving us ability to stand up straight, for spreading land over the waters, for giving us all we need, for giving us shoes to put on our feet, for giving us clothing, for crowning us with glory, for giving the weary, the tired, strength and energy. These are the blessings we make in the morning. Obviously, there's one more, a little bit longer. It's a chance for us every morning to appreciate from the littlest things of the rooster knowing when to crow. Although, I'll be honest, I grew up in Chicago, so I never lived on a farm. So I never really got the chance to hear the rooster crowing in the morning. But when my wife and I, when we first moved back to join the YU Kollel, this is already almost 5 years ago, we moved to Tui, to an apartment on Tui, to a two flat. And you figure Tui, it's a pretty busy street. And yet our neighbor on Tui had a chicken farm with a rooster. I'm not joking. This is on Tui and Francisco. This is not Melview Hepatsville. This is right in the heart of the Jewish community. Tui and Francisco, our neighbor had a chicken farm. And we figured, okay, he's a chicken farm. We'll know when to get up in the morning. This chicken, the rooster, and it wasn't just one rooster, it was numerous roosters he had throughout the 3 years we were living there, did not know the difference between daytime and nighttime. The rooster would crow at all hours of the night. 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm not exaggerating. It was so horrible that we had to get sound machines for every single room in the house because my kids were waking up from the rooster crowing in the middle of the night. If we had guests over, it was horrific. My in-laws, who live in Connecticut, they came to visit us. And after we moved from New York to Chicago, they're like, I didn't realize Chicago wasn't, I knew it was not on the East Coast, but I thought it was still a normal city. You have roosters on Tui Avenue. It was a little bit absurd, but thank God we moved on from there. We now live in Lincolnwood, where we don't have roosters, thank God. But everyone's invited to join us, our community in Lincolnwood. We are a rooster-free community. Regardless of that, that's the blessings we thank God for, from the littlest things to the big things in our lives, a chance every single day. Now the question is, are women obligated? Are women obligated in Birchos HaShachar? So I think it's important that we make sure we understand this clearly. So as with every single question in Judaism and almost everyone in Jewish law, the answer of whether women are obligated is obviously a machlokes. It's an argument. There are at least two, if not three or four opinions. We'll discuss two tonight. So why? Let's go with the one who says they're exempt first. Why would women be exempt from Berachos HaShachar? So very simply, because, as we know, women are exempt from any time-bound positive commitment, a mitzvah asei shahazman grama. And according to many, there is a set time every single day that one must finish Berachos HaShachar by either 4 hours into the day or 6 hours into the day by Chatzos. So since Berachos HaShachar has a set time to it, therefore, women are exempt from saying Berachos HaShachar. That is one view. The other opinion says that no, they're obligated in Berachos HaShachar. And why is that? Because they really aren't a mitzvah. So what does that mean, they really aren't a mitzvah? Why would that obligate them in Berachos HaShachar? So remember, we spoke about this last week a little bit about women are exempt from time-bound positive commandments. If there's a mitzvah to do something, then women are exempt from that if it's time-bound. However, if it's not a mitzvah, if it's a different impetus, a different reason why they may be obligated to do it, so this principle wouldn't necessarily apply. So the question is, what's the impetus? What's the mechayev for Birchos HaShachar in the morning? So in order to understand this, we actually have to take a step back. The Rambam, this is in Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam Parak Aleph, Halacha Dalet. Rambam writes, Kol HaBrachos Kulon Shlosha Minim. If you take all the Brachos in the world, from the Bracha of Neros Chanukah, to the Bracha on an apple, to Shemona Esrei, every single Bracha, you can divide them into three different categories. Three broad categories. What are they? The first, Berachos Hanaya, which is Hanaya is another word for Hana, which means a bracha made before getting pleasure for something. For example, I did or make a bracha on my seltzer. If I hadn't, the bracha of Shehakol on the seltzer is a Berachos Hana. That's the first category. Any blessing made before getting pleasure from something. The next are Berachos HaMitzvos, a bracha made upon doing a mitzvah. For example, the bracha we make before lighting Hanukkah candles, bracha we make before shaking a lulav, before saying Hallel, Berachos HaMitzvah. And the third category is broader, are Berachos Hoda'ah, our blessings of praise to God, blessings of thanks to God, which encompass within them Shehein Derach Shavach, either be praise, Hodaya, thanks, Ubakasha, or Brachos of request. And all these are, what's the purpose of all these Brachos? Kedei Lizkor Es HaBorei Tamid L'Yer Mimenu, in order to recognize God in our lives constantly and to have the proper awe and respect for God. Recognize God's role in our lives. So the question is, where do the Birchos HaShachar fall out? What category are they? Well, if you look at these three lists, Brachos made before getting benefit, Brachos on mitzvos, and Brachos of Hodah, of thanks and praise. Well, they're certainly not number two, right? Brachos on mitzvah, there's no mitzvah to put on shoes every single day. There's no mitzvah necessarily to get dressed even. One can wear pajamas all day if one really wanted to, right? So they're not. So there's no mitzvah that they're being that they're preceding. So certainly not berachos hamitzvah. Question is, are they berachos hana or berachos hada? Are they berachos hana or berachos hada? So this is a good question. Good question. Is it? So this truth is that it's kind of interesting because on the one hand you would argue that they're not berachos hana. They're not blessings made before getting benefit. Because we know the rule is, you make the bracha before you eat the apple. Meaning, but not 3 hours before. Let's say I wake up in the morning, and I know today for lunch I'm going to have an apple and a sandwich, and I'm going to have a cup of coffee in the afternoon, and then for dinner I'm going to have a steak and a salad. So we don't just wake up in the morning and say, the bracha of eitz and hamotzi and hadama. No. We make the bracha right before we get the benefit, right? That's how brachos hana work. You make the blessing before you get the benefit, not hours, not even minutes before. It should be right before, right? Within a few seconds of getting the benefit, you make the bracha. So all these blessings, though, right? The brachos of Brachos HaShachar, some people make it literally right away when they wake up. They do Tfilas Yadayim, they make the brachos. Some make it when they get to shul, but by then, you either haven't yet gotten the benefits or you already have done a lot of them. So, it'd be hard to call them Brachos Hana. However, the reason why it's not so simple is because historically, if you look at the Gemara in Brachos, when it cites the source, the Chiyuv for making these blessings, all these blessings we make in the morning, it actually says the order. When one gets, right before one gets dressed, one makes the blessing Malbisha Rumin. Before one puts on his shoes, they make the bracha of Mitzadei Gaber. Each and every blessing was historically was made right before we got the benefit. So it seems like historically, maybe they were Berachos Hana. So if they were Berachos Hana, so what happened? Why do we stop doing that fashion? So the answer is very simple, is that people tended to forget some or not realize they should have made some. They got distracted during the day. So in order to make sure that we made all the blessings every single day, they set it up in the Siddur that you make them in this set order, cover them all in one shot, get them all done. Now, what's interesting is that now if they were genuine Birchos Hana, they were genuine blessings made before getting benefit, then just because people were forgetting them doesn't mean you cannot make up this new rule, same all in the morning. I teach in a high school. I know plenty of kids who forget every single day to make brachos. They forget to make a bracha on their breakfast and on their lunch and on their snack. That's unfortunately the reality of many, many young from adults. Even some adults also forget to make brachos. So just because we forget doesn't mean in the morning you wake up, you're going to read through every bracha, mazanos, hadama, hamotzi, shahakol, oh, good for the day. No, that's not how it works. You have the responsibility to be aware, to be cognizant, to make the brachos before you eat the food. So the fact that Chazal were comfortable changing the tzura of these brachos to make them all in the morning really kind of clues us in that they're most likely berachos hada. Berachos of praise, thanking God for all the wonderful things He blessed with every single day. Now, that being the case, that the berachos hada, so then they're not a direct mechayiv of tefillah, right? They're not directly connected to our chiyuv to daven every single day. They are blessings we make because we're not ungrateful people. Right, we recognize the blessing that God gave us in our lives. So if that's the case, so then there's really no set time for it. We could make it in the morning. We can make it in the afternoon. We can make it all day long, theoretically. And therefore, according to this logic, it's not a time-bound positive commandment. It's a commandment that can be done at any point during the day, which would mean that women are chayiv in Berachos HaShachar. Because it's not time bound. It's not a set time to it. It can be made all day long. And as a matter of fact, that is how we assume. The normative halachic approach view is that women are chayiv in Berachos HaShachar. They must make the Berachos HaShachar. So if we haven't done until now, it's okay. Not everyone knows this, but we should make a concerted effort at some point during the day to say Berachos HaShachar. Ideally, we make it in the morning to be able to recognize the blessing in our lives right away, to start off the day with a blast, with a boom. But if we can't do it in the morning, if we're busy, rush out of the house, during our first coffee break at work, before we make that coffee, say Berachos HaShachar. If we're, you know, the first time we're going to do something which we really don't need to do, set a reminder on our phones to make Berachos HaShachar. It is very much highly recommended and really probably a chiyuv for women to make Berachos HaShachar every single day. Now, that being the case, let's pause right now for any questions. Any questions we've covered till now?
I have a question.
Yes.
For Berachos HaShachar, so there's no like time limit? I mean, would you have to say it like by 9:30 a.m. or I mean, is there a time limit like Shema?
So, good question. So the answer is that it's my quote, it's a different views. Ideally, if one is able to say it before 4 hours into the day, that is ideal. But if one cannot, or one forgets, one can make it all day long, any point during the day. Already, once it's nighttime, already really, it's you probably shouldn't be saying them. But any time during the day, one can say Berachos HaShachar. But the key for something like this, especially if we haven't been doing it until now, is to just have a set time we do it every single day. You know, make it part of our routine. Make it part of our daily schedule that we schedule on time to say Berachos HaShachar.
I have a question. When you were saying Elokai Neshama, were you saying that was part of that?
Yes. Elokai Neshama is part of Berachos HaShachar. Yeah.
Is that the first one?
So it's interesting also. The placement of Elokai Neshama is also interesting when one should say it. The reason being the case is that it's I'll give the background to it. We said, remember, historically, the blessings were all said, as you experienced it. So it's funny is that we say, the first thing we say in the morning is Moda'ani. Now, Moda'ani, this may not be so well known, Moda'ani does not exist in the Gemara. Moda'ani is not even in the Shulchan Aruch. Moda'ani was only written much later on in 16th or 15th century, really 16th century Tzfat. The same time that Lechadodi was written, it's another one, and Yedid Nefesh. These are all these, these 16th, 15th century Kabbalistic prayers written out of Tzfat, out of northern Israel. And yet somehow, like Lechadodi, it spread. Right? We know Lechadodi is pretty much universal in most shoals, as is saying Moda'ani is universal at this point. You know, who doesn't know Moda'ani? It's the first thing a kid learns in school. So we say that the first thing in the morning. But the Gemara says the first thing you say in the morning is Elokai Neshama. That's the first thing you do, right? You wake up in the morning and you say, God, thank you for giving me my soul back. Right? That's what Elokai Neshama is. Now, that's how it used to be. So that's why it's the first thing in many Sidurim. It's before Berachos HaShachar. However, the reality is that once Elokai Neshama is no longer said in the context of when you wake up in the morning, it's no longer part of this natural kind of, you know, experience in the world, make a bracha process. So now there's a second consideration, and that is as follows, that any bracha that does not begin with the words Baruch, if it means it's a bracha pesucha, it's not a bracha, it doesn't start with Baruch and with Baruch. So the halach is that really you're supposed to try to have it be samach, be be right after a bracha, which ended with the blessing. It's kind of, I'm not sure if I'm being clear. Give an example. In Shemona Esrei, right, the opening words of Shemona Esrei are Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Avraham Avinu, right? That's the opening words. Now, once we get past the first blessing of Shemona Esrei, every other bracha starts with Mechayim Meisimata, Atachonein, Rifa'enu. We don't start saying the words Baruch atah Hashem Rofei Kol Basar. We end with the blessing, but we don't start with the blessing. The reason why that's the case is because since the previous bracha ended with the words Baruch atah Hashem, so the next bracha can start without having a bracha in front of it. Now, Elokei Neshama, since it is now a bracha pesucha, is a unopened, it's a bracha which does not start with the words Baruch, so really we should try to place it in a situation where it follows the words, follows a previous blessing, which is why in many Sidurim, they suggest you should say Elokei Neshama right after you make Asher Yatzar. Because Asher Yatzar ends with the words Baruch atah Hashem Rafei Chal Basar Rafei La'asos, and then for the next bracha, it doesn't have to have a bracha to start it. That was unclear. I do apologize. I'm happy to repeat it if anyone wants me to clarify that. Feel free, anyone, to say, please, Rabbi, say it again.
I just have an additional question.
Yes.
So I've always wondered why we have Moda Ani and then Elokei Neshama, because they are so similar. And so do you know why we stopped having the verse 1 be Elokei Neshama and we switched over? It seems redundant, but somebody told me that we do it that way because then you're not saying God's name before you've done everything in the morning you're supposed to do.
Yes, so great question and great answer. The answer is very simply also because of the fact that really you can't say Elokei Neshama before you do Netilas Yadayim, while Moda Ani you can. And that's why there was, even though the first thing that the Gemara says you say in the morning is Elokei Neshama, the reality was that there was a break, a gap. You know, the first thing you did was you walked to do Netilas Yadayim, especially nowadays that most of us do not do Netilas Yadayim next to our beds. We do it either in the bathroom or next to the bathroom, whatever it is. So therefore, the Kabbalists out of Tzfat wanted to make sure the first thing we did in the morning, Mamash, the first thing for anything else before you even leave your bed, is acknowledge God, which is why we instituted Moda Ani.
Thank you.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
So I daven from the women's sitter, the art scroll.
Okay, beautiful.
And for the Elokei Neshama, it's actually after Elu Devarim Sheadam Ochel. And at the end of that, there is no Baruch atah Hashem.
Yes. So if you look, I think I don't have a copy of the women's sitter on me. I don't think I do. However, let me check actually.
But it's right after the
Baruch. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure.
Combined.
So I'm pretty sure. Let me pause for 1 second. I'm going to go check if I have one. Maybe it has one. Give me one second. Sorry, we only have the regular article in our house. However, but I'm pretty sure, even because I know the article, the standard article Sidur has this, at least in the newer editions. If you look in the Sidur, and even in the art scroll, if you look after what do you call Asher Yatzar, it says at this point some recite Elokei Neshama. I believe it has it in small letters in every single art scroll Sidur. Can you confirm if it has it in the women's Sidur also or no?
Oh, 1 second. Sorry.
Like at the previous page. It says at this point, some recite Elokei Neshama. Kibbe doesn't have it in there, but.
I mean, it says.
Right after Asher Yatzar.
Right after Bracha Shachar, it says. It just talks about how all Netilas Yadayim should be recited immediately after washing the hands.
It doesn't have it in them.
Others recite Asher Yatzar immediately after relieving themselves.
So,
after Berachas HaShachar, it has like a subtext of which morning brachos are like the most important ones.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So in the standard Arshul Sidur, it says right after the Asher Yatzar, it says at this point, some recite Elokai Neshama. That's based on what we discussed before. It's okay if you don't, if you do the order in the Sidur, if it's easier for you, it's totally fine. Just there is that idea that ideally if one's able to make it, you know, bracha samach, you know, lechaverta, then that's better. But then not absolutely make or break either way. Okay. I'm happy to take more questions. One question from the chat. Someone asked, "Don't we learn davening shacharis mincha mara from Av Mitzvah and Yaakov? When do the rabbis institute davening and brachos?" So we did discuss this a little bit last week, as far as that while there is a machlokes, where there's a biblical mitzvah to daven, the rabbis already instituted a standard text during times of Ezra HaSofer, during the second Beis Hamikdash period, setting up a set text in order to make sure that people daven every single day and didn't slack off. That's really the history behind the set text for davening. And it wasn't only the Shmoneh Esrei that was set then. Really, all our liturgy, as far as the standardized brachos, were all set during the time of Ezra and the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It was during the second temple period. Okay. Any other questions before we go further?
Yeah. So what does it mean, like, the brachos? Is it, like, only, like, the things at the beginning of the Siddur that actually have the brachas HaHashem? Or, like, even the very first thing that just, like, a whole long paragraph, like, three long paragraphs of just stuff? Sorry. I'm not, like, dissing it. I'm just wondering what is actually included in what you're mentioning.
Okay, great question. So I'm happy to clarify. So Berachas HaShachar pretty much includes as follows, as far as what we're saying that one should say every single day. It includes Ntilas Yadayim, Asher Yatzar, then we're going to get to it, but I'm not sure tonight, maybe another time. Then Berachas HaTorah, and now if you look at Berachas HaTorah in your Arshul Sidur or any Sidur, there are three separate paragraphs, and this is what you're referring to. There's Yivarechach Hashem v'yishmerecha, then there's Elu Dvarim 1 and Elu Dvarim 2. Now, for women, because women's chiv of Talmud Torah is different than men, women don't really have to say the two paragraphs of Elu Dvarim. They can just say Yivarechach Hashem v'yishmerecha. That is sufficient for the ending of Berachas HaTorah. So that is one should say every single morning. And then Elokai Neshama, followed by, maybe we said before a second ago that maybe you said it earlier, but okay. And then followed by Elokai Neshama, we say those brachos, starting with Asher Natan Lasechvi Vinal Chimiel Belaila, all the way to the words Gomel Chasidim Tovim Lamo Yisrael, which is that last paragraph right after the, starts with the words, we say that last paragraph as well. That's where Berachas HaShachar ends. That's it. Does that clarify?
It sure does. Thank you.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Yeah. I will ask, I don't mind anybody whose screens are off or names are off. I will ask just when you introduce your, if you ask a question, just, you know, introduce yourself so I know, just so I can respond in a respectful fashion. That'd be great going forward.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
I have a question about, somebody just said a minute ago in the women's Siddur, it shows like these are the more important ones to say if you can't say them all.
Yeah.
And do you have any comment on that?
I do not. It's hard to argue that, you know, the brachas are not so long. Unless someone's, God forbid, in a real emergency, one should be saying really all of them. I do not think that there is, you know, how long are we not, I mean, most of us, the sad reality is we're not the most intense daveners. We're not like, you know, crying over the Siddur for hours and hours every morning saying the 10 brachos. Each one takes, even if you daven slowly, it takes 8 seconds, maybe, like it's a timer right now. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Pokeach Ivrim. is it 6 seconds? 8 seconds? Man, not much time. And there aren't that many brachos. So really, why don't you really be saying all of them? You know, it's going to take you at most another minute. Yeah, so that's my comment on whether or not. Obviously, if one's God forbid an emergency, and then, you know, but that's not the, you know, day-to-day, thank God, not the day-to-day reality of our lives, so we can hopefully have time, an extra minute, to say brachos hashachar in the morning. And another piece is that we have all day to say them. We can say, you know, if you don't have those 2 minutes, your morning is so hectic and you're rushing out with your kids, and that's fine. I get that. I myself have a reality in my life too. If you don't have time in the morning to say the brachos, it's okay. But your first break, your first free moment, you have 2 minutes before the coffee, before you go schmooze with your coworker, before whatever it is you got to get done. You get to the grocery store, you're about to leave your car to go shopping, whatever it is. Say the brachos hashachar then. You know, there are so many apps you get on your phone. The Art School Sidur is free. You know, it's we should make sure, you know, to incorporate this into our daily routine. Any other questions? Sorry, question? Yeah.
Oh, I have a question. Can I, or does somebody else want to ask? Or?
No, go, please.
Okay. I know you said last time. Okay, so, you know, I understand that Bechor HaShachar is very important. And okay, so I got that. So now, I know you said last time that we, you know, women don't have to say Shema, they're not obligated because of the time and all that. So let's say you're one of those who, you know, I do work full time, but you think you have time, you could do Bechor HaShachar and then go into doing Shemona Esrei. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, Shema before Shemona Esrei is right there. So sometimes I can't resist. I want to say Shema, you know what I'm saying? Is that okay?
Yes.
No, I can't resist. I feel like I got to clean
it
out.
No, there is, you 100%. If you're able to, the more you daven, the better. 100%. The more you can do, the better. There's no limitation. It's just a matter of, you know, the bare bones of what's the bare bones of what you should be doing on a daily basis. But for sure, if you can say Shema, if you have time for it, that is incredible. As the Rambam says, V'chol hamarbeh harezeh mishubach. The more you can do, the better it is. The better it is. Obviously, but when we say more doesn't just mean quantity, it means quality as well. So if we can add more meaningful davening to our lives, it's not just mishubach as far as, you know, more davening, but it will genuinely impact your life in a more meaningful way. And the more we can add God to our lives, the more we can incorporate our understanding, our awareness of God in our lives, the better lives we will live on a daily basis. So 100%, if you could do more, all the credit to you, without a doubt. Okay,
thank you. Okay. Thank you.
So that's the baseline. And the reality is that, therefore, you know, the general perspective is that women are chayv, are obligated in Berachos HaShachar. Once again, that means that at any point during the day to say it, if we can say in the morning, it's great. But just to try to make sure we have time, at some point, you know, it shouldn't take more than 3 to 4 minutes to say. I know our lives are busy, but we can squeeze in and we can do it. We can split it up. It's also okay. But just to find time at some point. Now, I'm sure we're all aware, but because what we've done and we said until now really is relevant for everybody, right? Brachos HaShachar is relevant for every single person. The reason why it's relevant for whether or not you're a male or female. The only significant difference is in regards to one blessing, and that is the blessing of very good, Shelo Asani Isha or Shasani Kirtzano. Now, this blessing, if we're not aware, if we see in every single Siddur, maybe in the women's Siddur only has a Shasani Kirtzano, but this blessing is where there is a distinction. Men say Shelo Asani Isha, which means that God did not make me into a woman, while women say Shasani Kirtzano, that they were created, I was created according to God's will. Now, this is a blessing which has, over the course of different points in history, has generated some controversy. Specifically, the man's bracha of Shelo Asana Isha, that a man is making the blessing that I was not, God did not make me a woman. Now, obviously, Judaism is not sexist or chauvinist or playing favoritism to men. However, the brachos that we have that exist, really, they are highlighting specific points of appreciation in the human psyche and what it means to be a Jew, as well as brachos and Judaism really as a whole understands and relates the human experience for what it is genuinely. So let me explain this as follows. There are two different approaches as to why a man makes a blessing, Shelo Asana Isha. Approach number one is that men do not have to experience childbirth because of the incredible sacrifice and not just childbirth, the whole, from the whole 9 month experience of growing a child inside one's body, the sacrifice of the woman's really biologically, if you physiologically, that woman makes in order to birth a child is incredible, and it can be very taxing and painful. I'm not a woman, so I cannot tell you personally how it feels or experience, but I have a wife who is Baruch Hashem. We've had a few of our own children, and I've seen it, how taxing and how really traumatic the experience is of having a child. Yes, it is beautiful, it's incredible, it's a blessing, but it doesn't take away from the reality of how difficult it is. Now, being aware of that, the first approach is that the man makes a blessing, thanking God to not have to go through that experience, to be able to have children without having to experience childbirth. It really is amazing, the deal that men get to have in life. They don't have to experience childbirth, but get to still have children. It's really incredible. So it's thanking God, and really, obviously, we should all be thanking our spouses. The men should be thanking your spouses which is why every man should give a push present, 100%. I'm a big proponent of push presents. They're appropriate, showing a karsa tov to one's wife. The second approach as to why men that make the blessing of Shelo Asana Isha is, it goes back to what we said before, that women are exempt. Women are exempt from time-bound positive commandments. And the appreciation that a man is chayv in more mitzvos, the fact that we are chayv in more mitzvos, is a point which men should be appreciative of. That's why the blessing exists. Chazal are telling men, be appreciative that the extra restrictions in your life are not there to inhibit you. They're not there to control you. They're there to elevate you. And you should appreciate that you have more mitzvahs in your life. And therefore, we make the blessing of Shelo Asana Isha. So that is why that bracha exists. Now, Shasani Kirtzono, really, if you look at the Meforshim, what it's highlighting is this incredible, unfortunate, not so well-known perspective which Judaism has on women, which is that Shasani Kirtzono means that women, I was created according to God's will. And the idea being, and this is reflected in so many different commentaries ranging and different across the gamut of Jewish literature, but it reflects the idea that in Judaism, women are on a higher natural spiritual plane than men. That women, their psyche, their spiritual makeup puts them on a higher natural plane than men. And if you think the ideal spiritual being, it really is a woman. That's why women are partners with God, right? Who creates life? God created the first life in the history of humanity. God created Adam. And women are, they have the most godlike ability to then create new life in this world. So when a woman makes the bracha of Shasani Kirtzono, what they are expressing is this incredible gratitude to God that they were created in God's image, even more so perhaps than men, that they have this natural, emotional, spiritual connection with God. And I can tell you that, obviously, this is just anecdotal from my own experiences, but you see this. You see this very much playing out. Obviously, this is in general, and obviously there are exceptions to the rule in every single case. No one has to fit in any boxes. But, my wife and I, we ran NCSY and when we were living in the East Coast, and I'm also a high school teacher, and I can tell you that the natural spiritual appreciation that girls have over their male counterparts and male, you know, so to speak, the same age group, it's incomparable with spiritual maturity that girls develop at a much younger age than boys than young teenage boys. And that reflects this understanding, this reality that women, their spiritual makeup, their spiritual DNA is much more in tune with what it means to be a partner with God in this world. And that's why Shasana Kirtana is reflecting that appreciation that women have been blessed with that unique connection with God. And Gloria, question. Is someone, Gloria, unmuted? Miss Katz?
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
No, actually, I didn't mean to be there.
Okay. Any questions?
I just wanted to make a comment. When I say that, Bracha, I think beyond that, that every aspect of the way in which I am made is reflective of what Hashem wanted and the abilities that he gave me for my purpose in this world. I can't think of the name of the rabbi, but I've heard Rabbeim say that they even think, and I don't know if that rabbi did it actually, but he even thinks it could be appropriate for men to say that in view of that aspect of the way that Hashem makes each person individually.
Beautiful, for sure. And I would say that I love that idea. That really, I think what Marcia was really expressing was this important principle in all of prayer, which is that yes, the text of the prayer is set. It's in many ways it's generic. However, the meaning and our opportunity to personalize it is really something which all of us can and really should do. So yes, the prayer has its general meaning, but Asani Kirtan also means me personally, me for who I am. I am this expression of God's will in this world as well. I think it's such an important idea to incorporate to all of our tefillah. Any bracha we say, yes, it's the brachos have a very, you know, vague or general literal meaning, and we have an opportunity to insert our own thoughts, our own feelings, which make it personal. And it's for sure something which we should take advantage to do. Any other questions, comments before we move on? Okay. I just want to do one more source together inside. And this really is really highlights what we said a second ago, and we're going to close with this. This is all, once again, this is from Rabbi Melamed. I find Rabbi Melamed's stuff to be really insightful and informative. Same Sefer Panini Halakha, and he writes as follows. He's commenting on this Shasani Kirtzano. He writes, Bracha zu ba'ali de bitoy ma'alasa hayesera shal isha. This blessing of Shasani Kirtzano, it expresses this idea, this concept that women are on a higher level than men. Shehi mechuvenes yosir lirtzano shal Hashem yisbarach. They are more in line with the ideal will of God. That's why specifically women and not men are able to make this bracha of Shasani Kirtzano. And now he addresses like the elephant in the room. The reason why women are not obligated in mitzvos asheishas man grama, why they do have to do less mitzvos, himi pnei shemitzad tivan heimis misukunos yosir. They're more naturally fit, aligned with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, women need less mitzvos in order to perfect themselves. And that really, you know, as a whole, we'll close with this. And this idea that any mitzvah we have, and for sure include that as davening, they're not obligations. They're not supposed to constrain us or limit us or hold us back. They are an opportunities and a lifelong journey of growing, of one step at a time, perfecting ourselves. And for each of us, that journey looks different. it's unique because all of us are unique. But every single day we have the opportunity to incorporate the incredible mitzvot, both from the Torah, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from our Chazal, our sages, and our lifelong journey of growing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's something that each of us can do every single day in our own unique way. So I thank everyone for joining us for Wake Up with Neely, the Wake Up with Neely series. I applaud everyone for coming, spending their evenings learning Torah, growing, and I want to wish everyone a wonderful week ahead, and in advance, a Purim Sameach. Coming up 3 weeks away, make sure you get the Shalach Manos ready.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Any questions? I'm happy to stand for another few minutes. If any questions, feel free to ask away.
Thank you.
Good night. Zayge Bench, everybody.